Well, good morning. You can turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 119, where we will be completing our series of studies in this very lengthy psalm, beginning in verse 129. And this morning, what we're going to be looking at is really more of the same, to be honest. And as you know, my wife and I were away last weekend and appreciated all of those who stepped in, especially Pastor Sal, for doing such a great job with the message. But we took a little break, and now we're back, and we're just going to tie this up today. And I know a lot of these themes are very much the same as what we've talked about. What I've prayed about is how to apply the same truth to different circumstances. And today, a lot of what the author is talking about, as he deals with the theme of the Word of God, the law of the Lord, a lot of what he's talking about actually has to do with dealing with difficulty and especially dealing with adversaries. And when you're dealing with difficulty and especially adversaries, you need to be in the Word of God. And I really came to a place where I have a picture in my mind today that I'm sort of using as a jumping off point. Imagine if we were on a ship and the ship went down and you were fortunate enough to have a life preserver. Would you cling to that? Would you let it go? You would probably, if you were like me, you'd cling to that and pray there were no sharks. You'd cling to that life preserver for dear life, knowing that if you let it go, you would sink. What you're going to see today is the author in Psalm 119 making it abundantly clear that the Word of God is his life preserver. And when things get tough and when they become difficult, it is the only thing he clings to get him through those difficult times. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We open your word with reverence and awe and respect. And we thank you. We thank you, first of all, we thank you for those children that are learning today and having their activity together, their fellowship. We look forward to continuing to invest in the young people of our fellowship. And Lord, we also lift up those that are not with us today, those that for whatever reason can't be with us, either because of their physical conditions or their concerns. Lord, we want, first of all, them to listen in, but we want you to pour out a special blessing upon them and encourage them in their faith and in their relationship with you. May they know that we miss them and we long to be together again completely as a family here at this church. And now for those of us who are here, gathered to study your word together, we ask that you anoint us, to give us ears to hear your word and the determination to apply it to our hearts. Be our life preserver, Lord, as we cling to your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in verse 129, this first section, and I've mentioned this before, this first section that we're going to look at today, each of these sections have 8 verses. There are 22 sections, and each section is entitled with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. 22 letters, each section has a different letter. And poetically speaking, each verse begins with that letter. So now we begin in Hey, P-E there, and verse 29 and every verse following in this section begins with that Hebrew letter. And of course, in English, it doesn't translate. But we read in verse 129, "Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands." Wow, that's very, very figurative, but it's also incredibly descriptive. Panting for the word. Now, we're back to that picture of just clinging to God in the midst of difficult times. He is asking, as always, he's asking the Lord to bless him for his obedience to the word. Now, you'll see words like statutes and precepts. You'll see words like commands and ordinances. Those words are all different Hebrew words for the word of God. And poetically speaking, he uses a number of synonyms, but we're talking about the word of God each and every moment, each and every verse of this psalm. He declares the blessings of obeying the word of God, declaring that he obeys the word of the Lord. Why? What is it that makes him want to obey it? Look at the key word there. Wonderful. Your statutes are wonderful. See, the word of God is wonderful. That is, we're in awe of its power, but we also know it's a wonderful experience when we take God's word and apply it to our lives. He's enlightened. He gains understanding as he studies the Word of God. And so he longs, described like the deer that pants after the water, he longs to learn and obey God's Word. Is that your heart? Because I'm going to tell you something, you know, if that's not your heart right now, maybe a year ago, you could have gotten away with being lackadaisical about your desire to study God's Word. Maybe. I don't think so, but let's just say maybe. Clearly, where we are in our world today, the things we're facing as a society, and the challenges we have throughout the globe, throughout the entire earth. If you're not clinging to God's Word now, then, well, I don't know why. I know I am. I know it's what gets me through the day, gets me through the week. The author here knows that, and he's making that clear. And then he goes on and he says, look, I know there are blessings for obeying God's Word. And because I know that, because I read God's Word, it tells me I'm blessed. He now goes on to ask the Lord to bless him for obeying his word. Very simple. The word says I'll be blessed if I obey it. If I obey the word. Now, we're not just talking about studying, but actually applying. If I obey what the word of God says, I know I'll be blessed. So, we'll see in verses 132 through 136, he asks, he prays for the Lord to bless him for obeying his word. That's a legitimate, God-willed prayer. I'm asking you to bless me for obeying your word. Look at verse 132, and I'm giving you the major themes here. Turn to me and have mercy on me as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from the oppression of men that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your decrees. And I love this verse. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. You see the heart of this man? Is your heart breaking for our world today? Because mine is. My heart's breaking for the church, for our church. My heart's breaking for those who are gripped with fear. My heart's breaking for a lot of things right now. The state of our world politically, the state of our world spiritually, morally. It's never been more clear to me that we are engaged in a battle between good and evil. I mean, truly good and truly evil. Good wanting to honor God and his word, evil disregarding God and his word. And so we are in a place where we have chosen sides. We have chosen a side. But we are in a place now where we're looking at the rest of the world and we're saying, I like the way he says it, streams of tears flow from my eyes for your law is not obeyed. Is that your heart? Because that's my heart. I'm brought to tears when I see the way people are living and the things they're saying and supporting in our world today. It's heartbreaking. But the author looks at his own life and he asks the Lord to show him mercy. Why? He loves his name. He wants the Lord to direct him, again, according to his word. You see, we talk about being directed by God, but it's according to his word. And if you know God's word, he can direct you. We've talked a lot about that over the last few weeks. And so he wants to be directed. He wants the Lord to keep him from the bondage of sin and the bondage to sin. Look at verse 133. Direct my footsteps according to your word, and look at this, let no sin rule over me. So you see, the word of God will rule over your heart and your mind, or sin will rule over your heart and your mind. You know, it's been said, I think it's a European proverb, that sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. And it's so true. And so if you're struggling right now, and you can't get the support you're used to getting because of the circumstances we find ourselves in, there is only one life preserver. There is only one thing you can cling to at this time, and it's the Word of God. The author knows that. He makes it clear. He asks the Lord to deliver him. To deliver him from his enemies. Why? So that he can continue to obey his word. That's the whole point. Deliver me. Redeem me from the oppression of men. Have you felt oppressed lately? Redeem me. Buy me back from the oppression of the slavery that I seem sold into here. Redeem me from the oppression of sin. Why? That I might obey your word, that I might obey your precepts. And he wants the Lord to look on him, to teach him. He really does want to grow closer to God. This is his heart's desire, and he's distressed because the word of the Lord is not obeyed by his enemies. Now we get to the next section. And here the author declares that he trusts in God's word. Now, again, you cling to that you trust. You cling to that in which you trust. So if you trust in God's word, you're clinging to it. But I think we have to start with the premise that It's our nature to not trust in God's word. Our human nature, our sin nature, is to not look to God and his word. But when we have been born again of the Spirit of God, we are in a place where we understand and we've been enlightened that the word of God, basically the word of God, is powerful and effective, okay? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to discern between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It divides the joint and the marrow. It can do that. And if you're not in God's word, it won't. You know what they say about vitamins? They're good if you take them. If they sit in a bottle on the shelf, they don't work. Well, the thing about God's word is if you trust in it, you will receive the benefits and the blessings of trusting in God's word. And so we read in verse 137 in the next section. This one's entitled Sadhe. Righteous are you, O Lord, and your laws are right. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. That is, you can rely upon them. My zeal or my passion wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Tested, proven to be true and powerful. And this is how the author feels about God's word. You know, he loves the word. He trusts in the promises, in God's promises. He declares that the Lord is righteous. And of course, because the Lord is righteous, his word is righteous and faithful, trustworthy. The character of God is the character of his word. He's good. He's loving. He's faithful. He's compassionate. And the word teaches us that. If you want to know who God is, you have to study God's word. His passion, this man has a zeal, his passion for the word of the Lord, it actually distresses him because God's word is ignored by his enemies. Have you felt distressed? Because I have these last many months. As I've looked at people defying God, that would be the exact word. I feel not depressed, distressed. There is a fatigue that's setting in, you know, COVID fatigue, and we're starting to feel that, and we're going back into the winter. You know, listen, the winter months were isolated anyway, right? We are anyway, by nature of being cold, and, you know, we don't go out as much. And now here we are after a whole year of feeling very isolated, for a while, extremely isolated. We're going back into that. Our holidays are being jeopardized now. The authorities are telling us, you know, don't celebrate. How about this? Have your Thanksgiving meal. Just bring your own food and cutlery. You know, I thought they believed in science, but anyway, not foolishness. Now listen, we've had to change our plans out of respect for those that are not as healthy, and we've had to modify, but I don't know that bringing your own food and your own cutlery is the answer. Why do I say that? We are distressed by the circumstances that surround us. That is an accurate description. But the author, and I think if you search your heart as a person of faith, you'll find out the reason that you're distressed is because the enemies ignore the word of God. We're thinking, what's going to happen in our world? We're thinking, what's going to happen in our nation? What's going to happen with our economy? What's going to happen in our cities? Because we know that many, many people are ignoring God's word. And we're concerned and distressed because we know what happens when you ignore God's word. But let me just encourage you. It's fair to say that over half the people in our nation at least have a respect for God's word. And Sodom wouldn't have been destroyed if there were 10 righteous people. So deep breath, not too deep, you know, people might be nervous. Gotta laugh, we can still have humor. But a deep breath, because you know what? God is still in control of everything that's going on. And there are still, as God said to Elijah when he said, I'm the only one that's left. He's like, there's 7,000 called by my name. They call upon my name. Listen, it's not just us. It's not just you. God is in control. But yes, we are distressed because the world and many within it are ignoring the word of God. But not everyone, thank God. So that's where we're at. We cling to God's word at these times. And in any sense, you could say the one good thing about this time in our nation's history is we're given an opportunity to really reach out to God and his word. And if we do, we'll be blessed. So that's a good thing. In times of trial, people sometimes come closer to God. Many times we as Christians grow closer to God And our relationship with God thrives because of times like this. So I'm thankful for that, not for the circumstances. But I'm thankful for God in the circumstances. Can I hear an amen? Okay, so that's where we're at. It distresses him, it distresses me, but he declares that the promises in God's word are always proven to be true. He loves them because they're like the thing that just always is proven to be true. You never have to worry about it because they're thoroughly tested. You know, if you really have confidence in something, you can say, it's thoroughly tested. I know it's going to work. You know, you wouldn't get on an airplane if you didn't feel it was thoroughly tested, right? You wouldn't sit in a chair if you didn't feel it would hold you up. You can rely on God's word. And he goes on to say this, that he's determined to obey the word of the Lord, regardless of his circumstances. Now, this is important because circumstances do not dictate our response to God's word. Our response to God's word helps us to manage our circumstances. It's very important that we put it in the right order. Our response to God's word helps us to manage our circumstances. We don't let our circumstances affect whether or not we trust in God's word. It has to be this way. And I will say it this way. This man who wrote this psalm, he loved God's word, trusted in God's word. But you know what? It was his life preserver. It's what got him through some very difficult circumstances. Let's pick it up in verse 141. Though I am lowly and despised, notice that, I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting and your law is true. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight. Your statutes are forever right and give me understanding that I may live. That's his attitude. You know, how we think, that's how we are. It's a man thinketh in his heart or in his mind, right? That's who he is. You and I, we have to really be careful about how we think and what we think about and how we think about God's word. You know, it's funny. I've talked to people over the years who've taken their lives in their hands to go to different countries like El Salvador, Guatemala. I'll tell you, you know, there have been times on the mission field where I'm frightened. You know, I'm not going to lie. There were times where I was concerned. Not a lot, but there were moments where I thought, well, I'm glad I know Jesus. And, you know, I think we have forgotten that our attitude in life, regardless of what the circumstances are, has to be that of courage and trusting in God's word. We have allowed the media to tell us that we can't trust in God's word because God's word won't help us. A mask will, but God's word won't. We've been told that the measures we take trump us getting to a place where we're safe in God's word. Listen, I believe in the God who can keep you safe. Doesn't mean I'm reckless. We've been through this already. But I hope you're trusting in God's word more than you are PPE and social distancing. If there's anything you want to distance yourself from right now, it's probably socialism. I'll tell you what. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today because I think we need to be encouraged from God's word. My heart is to encourage today, not to condemn, to encourage. Because I'm tired of seeing us fearful, listening to the voices of the world. When did we start listening to the voices of the world? When did science trump what God's word says? I thought science told us we evolved from monkeys. I thought science told us there is no God, and now we're going to listen to science? No, I'm going to listen to God's word, and I'm going to use my head. Amen. And I'm here today, and you know what? I need to be in God's word, and I need to be in fellowship, and I need to be in worship. Otherwise, listen, you know what? Take me home. What I do know of what God's word tells me, it says, give me understanding that I may live. You see, I need understanding to live. And living in fear is not living. Living in faith is living. The author is determined to obey the word of the Lord regardless of circumstances. Now, you're on good footing, and here's why. Because the Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered, he's in our midst, right? Tells us that we're not to forsake the gathering of ourselves. Again, doesn't mean we can't be smart. But it is gathering that God gave to the name the church. The church in Greek, ekklesia, means gathering. You know that? Which is to say it precludes us being online and being really able to call it church. This is church. In a responsible way, we gather. This is church. So regardless of our circumstances, we need to trust God. And here he declares that he obeys the word of the Lord despite the oppression and the hatred of his enemies. He's not going to let anyone define his attitude towards God's word. He's not going to cower. He's not going to be fearful. He's not going to disobey. He's going to obey the word of God. And he says it, though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts. I'm not going to forget your word just because people don't like it. No, I'm not going to do that. And so he declares that he obeys the word despite those things, despite oppression and hatred. And there's a lot of hatred out there for us right now as Christians. He declares that the Lord's righteousness is everlasting and that his word is true. Can I hear an amen? It's true. And he declares that he rejoices in the word of the Lord despite the trouble and distress that he faces. This man's life was in danger. You know something? Your life is in danger every moment of every day from all sorts of things far worse than COVID. How are you approaching it? Are you trusting in God's word? Are you clinging to his word? Trouble and distress, we face it every day. Trouble and distress, and he says it this way, they've come upon me, but your commands, your word, are my delight. This is what he desires. This is his inspiration, the word of God, and he shares that with us. And he declares that the word of the Lord is always right. Yes, that he would have that understanding, because with understanding, he's empowered to live. We get to the third of the six sections we're looking at today, and they go by quickly. In verse 145 now, the author is asking the Lord again, deliver me because I'm obedient to your word. What is the one thing you can do to be assured of being delivered from difficult circumstances? Obey God's word. Oh, but Pastor Tim, what if something bad happens to me? There's nothing worse that can happen to you than disobeying God's word. If something bad happens to you and you're obeying God's word, you will at least know that God is with you and you'll be blessed in the difficulty. That's a great comfort to me. I'm the kind of person, I want to go down swinging. You know what I mean? So we get into this next section. It's called cough. And not cough. Cough. Isn't it funny? It's just one little side note, right? When's the last time you heard someone cough? I haven't heard, I mean, here we are in November, right? I haven't heard anybody, now someone's going to cough. I haven't heard anyone cough, and I thought to myself, it's amazing. But if it happened, you know what your reaction would be, right? I had to sneeze in the supermarket one time. I had the mask on and everything, and I almost ran out because I wasn't sure what would happen to me. Maybe that little robot thing going up and down the aisle would find me and escort me out of the building. But that has nothing to do with the Bible study. Cough. I call with all my heart, answer me, O Lord, and I will obey your decrees. You see, the stressing in this section is all about obedience and what we're dealing with today. I call with all my heart, answer me, O Lord, I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me. Have you ever prayed like that? When's the last time you said, save me? Or how about, Lord, keep me healthy? Are you praying that way? It's okay to pray that way. But as we talked about on Wednesday night in the book of James, ask the Lord, but don't doubt. Oh, I know, I'm one of those foolish people that believe that, you know, God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh and sent his son to die on a cross and that he rose again on the third day and promises salvation for all that put their faith in him. I know, I'm one of those crazy people, but I also believe God can save me. Read Psalm 91 this week if you're having a hard time trusting God. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. Now, he's not up because, you know, he ate pizza or because he has indigestion or because he's worried. He's up because he's what? He's thinking about God's word. It's a great thing to do. If you wake up in the middle of the night, read two verses. Right? And just think about them and you'll drift back to sleep because you're thinking about God and that peace will come into your life and your relationship with God. Well, here the author asks, He's asking the Lord to deliver him from the ungodly. And again, all according to God's promises and God's words, always according to his word, crying out to the Lord to deliver him from his enemies. Why? Why? So I can continue to obey your word. That's the principle here. And he cries out to the Lord, notice, for help early in the morning as he trusts in his word. And notice poetically, late into the night as he meditates on the promises in his word. So there's the poetry of it, saying that he, as it says here, he rises before dawn, cries for help, and he's put his hope in the word. And then my eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. It's as if this guy is just constantly in God's word, thinking about God's word, imagining ways that he can obey God's word. And that becomes our example this morning and always. We get to the next section of this section in verse 149. The author asked the Lord to deliver him, but he's asking and he's saying, look, deliver me from the ungodly, not just according to your promises, but because I'm trusting in those promises. So many of us pray, oh Lord, according to your word, deliver me. But we don't say, because I'm trusting in your word. Knowing the truth is not enough. Trusting in the truth is. Again, that life preserver, if you don't grip it, if you don't hold on to it, it can't save you. And so he gives us this example, picking it up in 149. Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, O Lord. Now, I love that. See, preserve my life. A life preserver. If you forget everything I've shared today, and I know some of this is repetitive, I want that to go home with you today. I want you to remember those words. Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your laws. How are we preserved? According to God's word. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. That is, I can trust in your word. Your word's not going anywhere. Now, what's great about that is he says something along the lines of the wicked are near, their schemes are near. But notice his response, yet you are near. It's as if, like David said, if God is for me, who can be against me? It's putting things in proper biblical perspective that helps us to persevere. And that's the word I think we really want to hold on to. Persevere, or be preserved, persevere. Same idea, life preservation. Life preservation. That's what this is all about, through the word of God. So he appeals to the love of the Lord. He asks him to deliver him from his enemies. Again, always according to his word. Because his enemies are closing in on him. That's a horrible feeling, isn't it? Can't pay the rent. You know, I am fortunate enough to have never felt that. Never being able to pay the rent. You know, but some of us have gone through some difficult times and are having some financial challenges because of all this. And that feeling of, you know, avoiding your landlord or just you know, not wanting to deal with it. You're kind of trying to escape from it. You know, it's hard. It's hard when you feel desperate like that, when your enemies are closing in on you. But notice, when his enemies are closing in on him, he recognizes that they're far from the word of the Lord, but he's near. The Lord is with him. He's learned that the promises in his word are true and everlasting. So again, a life preserver. We get to the next section here. In 153, we read, this is called Resh. Look upon my suffering. Now, it's important to stop there and realize this man is writing all these wonderful principles in the midst of suffering. Oh, but Pastor Tim, you don't understand what I'm going through. I'm suffering. Well, so is he. Look upon my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life. There we go again. Preserve my life. Why is this in here today? Why is God continuing to say this to us? I'll let you answer that question. Preserve my life according to your promise. Salvation or deliverance is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees. Your compassion is great, O Lord. Preserve my life. Did you hear that yet? Preserve my life according to your laws, that is, according to your word. I think everything we need to hear today is in those three words. Preserve my life. To whom are we saying that? Lord, preserve my life. Under what circumstances? According to your word. Lord, preserve my life according to your word. So we trust that God can do it. and will do it according to his word. And you wouldn't want him to do anything anyway that wasn't according to his word. So again, deep breath. Just recognize that this is where the world gets to see if Christians really trust God. This is where we have an opportunity to obey and apply God's word to our lives. And he hasn't given us that spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and this is so important, a sound mind. Well, the author asked the Lord to deliver him. And here he's really saying, look, deliver me, because I'm obeying your word. I'm doing what you told me to do, so I can trust that you're going to preserve my life. He wants to be delivered from the ungodly. Again, according to God's word, he will. He cries out to the Lord to deliver him from his suffering as he trusts in the word. He cries out to the Lord to deliver him from his enemies according to those same promises. And he declares, this is the truth he comes to, that the Lord will not deliver the wicked because they don't learn and obey the word of God. That's what he said there in verse 155. Salvation is far from the wicked, and it is. And we're trying to bring salvation to the wicked, but it's far from the wicked. Why? They don't seek out your decrees. They don't seek out your word. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. If you don't have God's word, you don't have salvation. And it's God's word that teaches us the truth of his deliverance. So I think we've made our case that this is our life preserver. Maybe we should just strap it to ourselves. You know, like when you're on the airplane, they say your seat cushion is a flotation device. I'm not saying you want to sit on your Bible, but maybe you should strap it to your side like a sword. Man, more than ever, we need to be in God's word. And not just listen or study or even meditate, but obey God's word. Now, though, he declares that the Lord is compassionate. His compassion is great. And he asks him, preserve my life according to your word. What a wonderful prayer. And then he goes on here to ask the Lord to deliver him from the ungodly. Again, as he's trusting in the word. Look at verses 157 through 160. We're almost through here. Many are the foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes. Interesting. Interesting. Many problems, many difficulties, yet he hasn't turned from God's word. I look on the faithless with loathing. I like that phrase. I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word. See how I love your precepts? Say it with me. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. This theme going through this study today is just wonderfully encouraging. He asked the Lord to deliver him. He hasn't stopped obeying the word of the Lord, even though he's persecuted by others. He despises his enemies. He loathes them because they do not obey the word of God. Now, that's not to say he wouldn't like for them to obey God's word, but I'm just going to say this. It's like I've been praying this way. You can like it or not. I've been praying this way. Lord, may all those that are your enemies repent and come to know you. And if they don't, utterly destroy them. You know where I got that from? David. So I think I'm on pretty good terms. No, I would love to see all those who are enemies of the truth, I would love to see them converted and give their lives to Christ, but the day is going to come. Listen, that prayer is going to be delivered. That prayer is going to be answered and we are going to be delivered. Listen, the day is going to come where he's going to destroy the enemies of truth. Now, I don't want that to happen to anyone, but I don't want the enemies of truth to go unjudged. See, I care too much about the lives of unborn children. I care too much about truth and about godliness. Not to say with the psalmist that I loathe those who disobey your word. It doesn't mean I don't want them to get saved. But if they're going to be enemies of God, then I pray that God would destroy his enemies. Because that's what he ultimately will do. Are you with me? I'm not bloodthirsty. That's how the author feels. He makes that clear. Here he truly, truly wants the Lord to watch and see just how much he loves his word. Lord, see how much I love it? He asked the Lord to deliver him from his enemies. Again, not according to his word as much as according to his love. You love me, Lord, and I love your word, so therefore deliver me. And of course, the word is true. It's righteous, it's everlasting, and he makes that point. Verse 161, here the author declares, again, repeats this, I trust God's word. That would be a wise thing for us to do this week. Just, I trust God's word. Oh, there's a spike. You know, be careful what statistics you actually believe. Remember, these are the people who brought you fake news. They're the same people bringing you the stats. These are the same people that want to sell vaccines. These are the same people who will tell you what you don't want to hear in order to manipulate and control you. I'm not saying the virus is fake news. I'm saying there's a lot of fake news about the virus. Be very careful what you put your trust in and your source of information. And I was just speaking with Lorianne about this. We're going to put together probably some kind of a flyer. We haven't decided exactly yet. Just so you can check out what should be real information about some of the things we're going through. Because remember, the media has an interest in making you afraid. God has an interest in saving your soul and preserving your life. I wish I didn't have to say these things. I really wish I didn't have to say these things, but I do. Okay, well, the word is the answer, right? So here he's going to say he trusts in the word. Look at verses 161 through 164. We're now in Sin and Shin. These are the letter there. The letter obviously has two forms. This letter is the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet, the second to last. Rulers persecute me, he says. That's how I feel about our leaders. Rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word. I rejoice in your promise like one who finds great spoil, a treasure. I hate... Oh, Pastor, is it okay to hate? Well, God hates sin. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. He contrasts what's false with what's true. Why are we spending so much time focusing on fake news and falsehoods and not on God's word? I'll tell you, after the election, I pretty much, you know, I kind of check in, but I used to have it on all day, just all day. And it was, you know, a waste of my time, really, to be honest with you. And now I'm just staying focused on much better things. The word of God being one of them, for sure. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. Now, that's an idiom. Seven times, it's like a completion, a number of completion, a perfect number. I'm constantly, he might as well have said, constantly praising you for your righteous laws. So this is the man's heart. This is how he's coping with circumstances that are far more difficult than we're going through. So why would his answer be any different than yours, or yours any different than his? All right? The author declares he loves the word of the Lord. He trusts in his promises. He reveres the word, even though those in authority persecute him unjustly. What are you going to do when the authorities say, not only do you have to wear a mask every minute of every day, even when you sleep, but you can't read your Bible? Is that too far? Is that when it gets to be too far? Is that when we finally say, you know what, I maybe shouldn't be listening to everybody who tells me what to do? You see, there's a vested interest in a global system trying to get us away from this life preserver. Don't let them separate you from God. Don't let them separate you through fear from his word. Cling to it. There's some countries where this will get you to a jail sentence for the rest of your life, carrying this book right here. Think about it. Why? Have you ever stopped to think, why is it so despised? Because it's true. Because it is the answer. He rejoices in the promises in God's word. He considers them a great treasure. A great treasure. Listen, I have a number of Bibles. I've mentioned this recently. This is the one that I like to preach from. I have one that, you know, when I'm doing weddings or funerals, it's more formal, that Pastor Sal gave me. You know what? I have a number of Bibles. They're all precious to me, but this word is a great treasure to our souls. Opening God's word. Wow, what a privilege. I can do this. There are Christians right now throughout the world that might have a portion of a page of what you have. And they probably memorize it and recite it over and over again. And it might be all that's getting them through what could be only described as a miserable existence. And here you have a whole book. All of it. Complete. This is the author's heart for the word of God. And it needs to be ours. It's a great treasure. He hates the slanderous lies of his enemies, and he loves the word of the Lord. You can't love the world and God. You can't love money and God. You can't obey God's word and obey a government or a world system that defies God's word. It's time to choose. This author chose a long time ago. He praises the Lord. He rejoices in his righteous word, and he does so each and every day. So there's how often, Pastor Tim, should I be looking or thinking about God's word or obeying God's word? Constantly. That's the answer. Constantly. Now, the author declares he loves the word of the Lord. He's waiting for God to deliver him. He's not looking to anyone else. Listen, what people think about vaccines. Listen, political candidates are not going to save you. Administrations aren't going to save you. The virus, listen, it's just another thing we have to deal with. Vaccines are not going to save you. God is going to save you. No matter what you decide to do, God is the one that saves you. Please don't put your hope in anything other than him. Use your head. Be wise. I'm not saying we're going to be, you know, irresponsible or reckless. But if you're putting your trust in something else to keep you safe, you're doomed to fail if it's not the word of God. So we read in verse 165, great peace have they who love your law. Boy, we could preach a sermon on that one line, half a line. Great peace. You have peace? I have some peace. No, you have great peace? Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Got to close that book. I can't take in anymore. That's enough. We'll finish. Don't worry. But I stop there and I think to myself, great peace. I lost my place. Great peace. Have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Why is it that we don't really just think about that one verse for just a minute? Just, man, I want great peace. And I feel like I'm stumbling. I think we all feel that way. But nothing can make those who love your law, your word, stumble. I wait for your salvation. Notice your salvation, O Lord. And I follow your commands, as opposed to someone else's. I obey your statutes and I love them greatly. I obey your precepts and your statutes, for all my ways are known to you. That is, you know everything I'm going through. You know my thoughts from afar. We'll get to that in a few weeks. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Know my heart. God knows you. And this is what he's telling you you need. So I would rely on that. Wrapping this section up, those that love the word of the Lord have great peace. They never stumble. They will continue to wait for the Lord's deliverance as they obey his word. And here this man declares he loves and obeys the word of the Lord, and that the Lord knows his circumstances. And that's all we need to know. Finally, as we get to the end of this psalm and our study today, in verse 169, here the author closes up the entire psalm by asking the Lord to deliver him because he trusts in his word. He's saying, look, I trust in your word, I'm not trusting in others, I'm trusting in your word, therefore, Lord, deliver me. And that is exactly what we should be saying in our hearts today. In Tau, which is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and in verses 169 through 173, we read, may my cry come before you, O Lord, give me understanding according to your word. May my supplication, that's a deep felt prayer, supplication, may my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. See, he's chosen God's word. He's put all of his faith in God's word and the God of his word. And he's done that, and he's asking God to simply respond according to his word. And that's a wonderful way to pray. Deliver me, he would say. Deliver me from the ungodly. Give me understanding of your word. He asked the Lord to give him understanding according to the promises. You see, there's a lot of people that don't really know God's word. And so they have an incorrect understanding of what God has promised. God hasn't promised you're not going to go through trials. God has promised that he'll deliver you through the trials. God hasn't promised you that everything's going to be perfect in this life and you're never going to get sick or you're not going to die. God has promised that when you die, you'll be in his presence if you put your trust in him. You know, I wonder how much courage it takes for a soldier to enter the battlefield knowing he may not leave. Does he go tentatively? Does he march forward with apprehension and hesitation? Or does he give it his all? I wonder, when someone steps out on a field to compete in athletics, do they give it their all? Or do they kind of go halfway because they don't want to get injured? You know, I think what we need to decide right now is, are we all in or not? This man is all in. He's all in. He wants to be taught the word. He wants to rejoice in his promises. I love that description. Verses 171 through 172. May my lips overflow with praise. And it goes on to say in verse 172, may my tongue sing of your word. The things that are coming out of our mouth should praise God more than anything else. He asked the Lord to deliver him. He's chosen to learn and obey his word. He's made that clear over 176 verses here. And we get to the last few verses here in verse 174, where the author asked the Lord to deliver him from the ungodly. He's saying, get me out of this situation, Lord. And he does so by faith when he says in 174, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let me live, that I may praise you, and may your laws sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. I love the fact that he gets to the end of this and he essentially says, look, everything I just said that I want to do and that I try to do and that I often do, I don't always do. I've strayed like a lost sheep. And maybe you feel like a lost sheep today as I ask the worship team to come up. You see, the author asked the Lord to deliver him. He longs to be delivered from his enemies, and so he rejoices in the word of God, asking the Lord to deliver him from his enemies and sustain him. Why? That he might continue to praise the Lord. Now, he confesses that he sinned, and maybe it's time for us to do likewise. He's asking the Lord to restore him because he trusts in his word, but he starts by saying this, I have strayed like a lost sheep. Maybe that needs to be our prayer today as we close our service. Maybe we need to say, I've strayed like a lost sheep. What is a lost sheep? A lost sheep is someone that has a shepherd, but is strayed from the shepherd. A lost sheep isn't a bad person. It's someone who's gotten distracted from what's important and focused on something that led them away from the shepherd. Could have been the election, could have been politics, could be the latest stats of who's in the hospital and how many died. Maybe as a lost sheep, and if we admit we are lost sheep, maybe it's time for us to move our way back to the shepherd. How do we do that? By learning God's word and obeying it. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are lost sheep. Oh, apart from you, we can do nothing. We've been challenged to trust you, and it's been difficult these many months. But here we are, trusting you, believing in you. And it's not magic. It's not a fairy tale. You told us that you would provide for all of our needs, that we could cast our cares upon you. You'll care for us. You've told us if we walk through the fire, we won't be burned. The flood will not overtake us. You've told us these things. Lord, help us to obey your word, knowing that where we walk in faith, we walk in protection. Because you protect us. Help us not to be reckless, but help us to trust in you. Oh, Lord God, I pray that we would remember those words and that prayer. Preserve my life. For, Lord, we cling to you as a life preserver in a stormy sea, knowing as long as we cling to you, no matter how terrible the storm becomes, we'll be kept safe. Thank you, Lord, for this precious psalm over these many weeks. We look forward to continuing in our series of studies in the Psalms and pray that you'd carry us through. In Jesus' name, amen.